Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just how many teams should we, are we going to have in the college football playoff? And how is the money going to shake out? Let's go. It's the number one college football show. What's up, kid folk? Welcome to the number one college football show. I am your host, RJ Young. Thank you for watching on the Fox Sports app, YouTube, or listening wherever you get your podcast. Today on the show, I want to talk about the playoff format. As we know, we're getting 12 teams, but could we get 14? Could we get 16? What's the right number? And how would those models even work? But first, I want to talk about the revenue man. Okay? Now, we're recording this on Tuesday, as I understand that we got the college football playoff brass meeting throughout the week, and they're going to probably come up with some sort of agreement in as far as the revenue and how it is going to be split. And I'm going to get into why that is taking some time and just what the big deal is going on here. But let's start with this. College football playoff, as it is, belongs to ESPN. The TV deal that they signed with college football playoff is worth almost $8 billion from 2026 to 2032. No matter what happens this year or next, we're getting at least 12 teams. Probably going to stick to 12 teams in 2024, stick to 12 teams in 2025, and then we'll see what the number balloons to, if it balloons at all. But I think it's interesting to note that ESPN told the college football playoff, look, we're going to pay $1.3 billion a year for this, but we're not paying more. So if y'all want to play 16 games, that's great. We're still playing 1.3. We're not going to give you any money for this extra inventory, for which I don't think they would do anything but turn down their turtleneck, because you can always sell good college football, okay? Now, the revenue man, not to be confused with the tax man busting up my still, has really been a bugaboo for the college football playoff. So in the past, the Power Five had split 80% of the college football playoff money, which was about $460 million. Now, numbers are numbers and inflation is inflation, but you get that that's a lot of money. And the reason that you got 80% going to those five conferences is because they made up the bulk of the field, right? We got to wait till 2021 to see a group of five program get into that thing, right, in Cincinnati. And they got the what for and the how now from Alabama, as Alabama rolled to the national championship game that year. Now, that deal was also struck by an entirely different group of commissioners and leaders for the most part. Kevin Warren was once Big Ten commissioner, right? We've had a new ACC commissioner. We have a new athletic director at Notre Dame, and they always got something to say about the college football playoff. But right now, it's Big Ten commissioner Tony Petitti and SEC commissioner Greg Sankey who are holding up the money train. And depending on how you want to define hold up, could be Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson holding up the money train. Or it could be, you know, Commissioner Patterson holding up the money train. Those of y'all ain't seen Money Train and you just lost. Patterson is the bad guy. Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson are the good guys, but everybody's got some interest in the revenue train. Okay? All right. Now, the super conferences, as I call them, the Big Ten and the SEC, want 58% of the available $1.3 billion. Super conferences, which also means that there ain't no Power Four as far as they're concerned. There is a Power Two. There is us and there is y'all, okay? Because they believe that they would have more teams in the playoff, they believe that they also should get more money, not to mention They got teams everybody wants to see in the college football playoff apart from college football fans. Okay? There is a difference between having Ohio State and Michigan, Alabama and Georgia, Oklahoma and Texas, Penn State, and let's see who's on Penn State's level. Say Iowa, right? And say, or USC, Oregon, right? Duh, right? As opposed to BYU and Arizona, right? We get that. We understand that. We all understand that. So the holdup here is, are the rest of the conference commissioners going to let this slide? And that includes Notre Dame. We'll get through them in a little bit. But this also means that the ACC and Big 12 would only get 31% of the available $1.3 billion. And G5 programs and Notre Dame would get the crappy service tip of 10%. Away to tables. I got to tell y'all, that scene in Waiting where you got the dude rubbing his dandruff into the food, that might be where the G5 and Notre Dame are feeling right now. Okay? Like, it's, you don't tip 10%. Nobody tips 10%. Okay? You want good service, you leave 20% or more on the table. Okay? I am team gratuity on this. And that's what G5 and Notre Dame would be. Team gratuity. Okay? We don't expect y'all to have teams that progress on some off years, right? Notre Dame through the second and third round, right? Especially if you're G5 Notre Dame, but Notre Dame is not really a part of a conference. And that's why they're being grouped in with the also-rans. I've been saying for years, Notre Dame, just join a conference, man. Get out of this open marriage, right? Do right by the ACC. Go win some ACC titles and take your money. That said, it would still only be 31%. And Notre Dame would probably tell y'all, hey, we're on that Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan level too. Okay, fine, right? But that's one of those things that they're going to have to work out over the course of this week. Now, the money foots to basically super conferences would get $760 million, leaving $440 million for the ACC, Big 12, and just $115 million for G5 and Notre Dame, which is basically a cost of living increase, which ain't really no raise. And that's why G5 programs and Notre Dame are, you know, wanting to see what gives SEC and Big 10. And the SEC and Big 10 are like, you know what gives? We run this. Y'all don't run nothing. We run this. We're going to see who flinches first, right? If you're the Big 10, the SEC, yeah, you want this. The SEC can make $23 million because they got 16 teams. The Big 10 can make $21 million per team because they got 18 teams, right? ACC ballooned in size, but not in income. This $13.7 million, they got to spread out. And the Big 12 also ballooned in size, but not in income. $12.3 million, just $2 million for the G5 teams and or Notre Dame for making the college football playoff. I think they're going to meet somewhere in the middle on this, mostly because these folks got to live together and they got to talk to each other. And, you know, we don't live in a world that can be regional anymore in our sport. And that's what many people are arguing about. The regionality used to really matter, used to be the only thing that mattered. But this is a nationally televised sport, which needs to be centralized. I think the thing to know about all of this is, A, I'm keeping up with it. You're going to be fine, right? As it happens, I'm going to explain it to you. And that's what these segments are for. But also, this goes to underscore just how out of sync the marketplace is with the governing body of the sport. Okay? We have the marketplace of the sport operating like a 21st century capitalist institution, and we've got the brass behind the sport acting like it's 1977. I would even say 1955, because in 1955, former Yale athletic director Robert Hall wrote for Sports Illustrated a piece that is headlined, TV Money May Wreck College Athletics. And the deck here, that's subhead for those of y'all that don't do the journalism thing. The NCAA program for a controlling college football telecast is under attack. A meeting is being held in New York to try to suss that out. Robert Hall, former athletic director at Yale, charges here that a few large schools are ready to sink all the rest in their eagerness to monopolize the TV dollar. That's 1955. So we've been telling this lie for 70 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is funny to me because everybody thinks that they are creating something new when they tell this story. But, you know, I studied Shakespeare in college. That's my man. Billy Shakes, that's my man. We keep telling his stories. Because he'd been telling their stories. This is a story that we tell. What I'm curious about is, will we create a new governing body that can catch up with the marketplace of the sport, just as they basically had to do when taken to court in the 20th century? Matter of fact, 1977, you got to see programs saying, hey, look, we should make more money than these other programs because we're Penn State, we're Ohio State, we're Oklahoma. And that escalated to the Supreme Court in 1984, right? Which led to realignment, right? But also a balloon in money because the television networks were like, hey, look, it would behoove us all if y'all put Oklahoma and Texas and Nebraska in the same conference. We could all make a ton of dough. And that's essentially what we have been doing with realignment. That's what nobody wants to say out loud. USC, Oregon, Washington, all UCLA, all join up to the Big Ten because that's a really great TV product. You got Ohio State, Michigan, and those programs, Penn State. In the SEC, the reason Oklahoma and Texas joined up, same difference. You can negotiate better as a conference when you are strong top to bottom. What also is curious about here is people talking about conference realignment and how that's going to keep going on. That's assuming that we still want to let teams into conferences. What I'm going to be interested in is how long does Vanderbilt get to hold on to being an SEC program? Okay? How long does Rutgers get to keep claiming that they're Big Ten members? How long until this is not, will they're not bringing in enough money, right? My favorite sport outside of college football, right? Formula One. There's no 11th team because they don't want to split the money. That's where you're at right now. So as you're also trying to cull, you're also trying to make sure that you are set up to win in the future. And that's where we're really falling apart on this thing, right? The Big Ten, the SEC are going to be fine, but they want to solidify being fine. And I don't blame them for that. Not in the least. If you have leverage, you negotiate like you got leverage. That's what you do. That's how negotiations are done. And you got to admit when you don't have any. I think that's where the G5 and Notre Dame are, right? So you talk about G5 programs. We've been saying for some time, perhaps we should split FBS, right? Have your legitimate Power 5 programs and your Tulsas, right? Your Boise States. You know, your Utah States, your Mountain West, if you will. I don't see a problem with that. And when you look at how large the Power Four conferences are, 16 teams in the Big 12, 18 teams in the ACC, 16 teams in the SEC, 18 teams in the Big 10, we're already to an NCAA tournament field that, frankly, could do better playing against each other for a national championship. We would all tune in to watch those games. You can make sure that you got Georgia playing USC, that you got Ohio State playing Alabama on the regular. This is a great product. You know what else this reminds me of? The Premier League. Remember when that was a thing? Well, maybe you don't because some of y'all weren't born that time, but in the early 1990s, the top league separated, right? We got teams that drew and teams that didn't, and we had a relegation system for how to make it fair in England, which is much more social than we are, right? Socialist than I should say our economic system in the United States, which means that, yeah, you can have teams go up and go down. I don't think we're going to be able to do that in America because we just don't allow for such a thing because, well, these are not publicly traded companies that we all own. They pretty much are owned by the people that own them, right? Say the NFL, for instance. But the point there is, I think that they're going to look at it the way that they did in England. They're going to say, hey, we could all make more money if we just created an entirely different league where we know the top clubs in England are going to play each other over 38 weeks to see who is the best. That's where I think we're headed. Now, how quickly we get there and how soon we get there, I don't know, man. But the more that the money grows and the more that you see G5 programs looking at $2 million for making the college football playoff, and SEC programs making $23 million making the college football playoff, you can't compete anymore. It's impossible. Like, the revenue split is just too large. You're not going to make up that. So if you are group of five, hey, negotiate a different deal for yourselves. Find a different way to go about this. And that is going to be their task, right? I would love to see the Sun Belt Conference champ play against the American Conference champ in a playoff setting. I just don't know that that's something we're going to be able to see in a 12, 14, or 16 team format. And as the money continues to go up and we got more people interested in our sport with the centralization of the sport, you're going to see these things come to a head. Okay. If not by the time that you've already seen this show, certainly in the very near future. Okay. Let's talk about what the current format is, right? And then let's talk about what the format could be for the college football playoff, which has got nothing to do with the money and everything to do with who gets in, why, and how. Now, I say nothing to do with the money. It has something to do with the money, but we'll get to that, right? So is the correct number 12 teams, 14 teams, or 16 teams? I have been a proponent of 16 teams for a very long time. I think 16 teams at the time would include your G5 programs because that would mean automatic qualifiers for all the conference champs. Everybody who gets in should be in, right? They won their championship. However, that's going to add more games to the schedule. I'm not sure that's what a lot of people want to do. So the 16-team one only feels like it can work if we get rid of conference championship games. Now, are there those of us that like a conference championship game? Absolutely. Who doesn't like more football, especially championship weekends and championship football? That said, conference championships are a really recent occurrence, and they were created to make money from TV. Okay? You don't actually need them if you have a real playoff system. Okay? We don't need to find out who the Big Ten champ is because the one and the two seed probably make the college football playoff every single year. So you would not have to see Ohio State beat up on USC or Ohio State beat up on Michigan, for lack of a better term, right? You would be able to see that in a playoff setting. And that home atmosphere would also come back into play because we wouldn't be playing the Big Ten championship at Lucas Oil. We'd be playing a first round or second round game at Ohio State, right? Or at the Big House, where you can get 110,000 people into there, right? Also, let's not play coy about that. They set a record in the Premier League last week when we had 60,000 people show up for Man City versus Liverpool with, you know, two of the three best teams in the league. 60,000. They do 110 at the Big House every single home game. Let's not be coy about that. You want to get as many people in as you possibly can get in, and an extended playoff lets you do that. Now, 12 team, I think, is pretty explanatory at this time. It was 5 plus 7. Now it could be as much as, we could get to 4 plus 8, right? But I don't think we're going to see that. I think they're going to stick to what they know, right? Which is that the Big 12 and the ACC conference champs should probably get in this current format, and we'll go from there. Now we get to 14, which is an interesting number only because Tony Petitti floated out there, and now we got to take it seriously, right? So there are two dominant models that we could use in a 14-team playoff. Both favor the SEC and the Big Ten, okay? Which, duh, Tony Petitti represents the Big Ten. But does that discount its merit? No, not at all. So in one of these models, you basically have 11 plus 3, right? You'd have 11 automatic qualifiers and 3 at-large bids. So you'd have a 3-3 for the SEC and the Big Ten. You'd have a 2-2, right, for the ACC and the Big 12. And then you have a 1 plus 3, right, which would be your highest ranking G5 team. And then 3 at-large bids, one of which we think would probably go to Notre Dame. So really just 2, right? The other one that I think is also interesting is a 2 plus 2 plus 1 plus 1 plus 7 or 7 plus 7, right? So you get 2 teams each from the SEC and the Big 10, 1 team each from the ACC and the Big 12, and your highest ranked group of 5, and then 7 at-large bids. I don't think that the SEC or the Big 10, or for that matter, the Big 12 or the ACC, want to leave 7 open spots, right? 6, let's say Notre Dame, right? Let's just pencil in Notre Dame for the time being. 6 open spots. I don't think they want to do that. I think they would look and say, wait a second. So on the off chance that Fresno State is undefeated and wins the Mountain West, we got to give up a spot to Fresno State when USC might be the 3rd best team in the Big 10? When Texas might be the 3rd best team in the SEC? When Oklahoma might be the 4th best team in the SEC? When Penn State might be the 4th best team in the Big 10? I wouldn't want to see that either because you, like I, want to see USC and Penn State in that spot and not Fresno State. That's just what the country wants. That's how we are leaning. That's how the sport is made. Fresno State wants to be considered. Fresno State got to do a whole lot more winning. Okay? It comes down to Michigan winning his program in college football, who might be the 4th best team in the Big 10. And Fresno State, Michigan's going to win, or at least they should, or we're all going to show up to whomever is running the sport and go, yo, dog, what? Not unlike Florida State fans when they found out that Alabama got the 4th spot and not them. There's also the idea of the 5 plus 9, which would be your 4 Power 5 or Power 4 champs, 4, keep saying Power 5, 4 Power 4 champs, and your highest ranked G5 program. And then again, I would add Notre Dame in there, but, you know, so you basically got 8 at-large bids and not 9. I don't like it I don't like it. I just don't like it, right? I don't like it because we're still emphasizing conference championships at a time when we don't really need them. The Big Ten just did away with divisions, which they should have done a long time ago, and now we're threatening to scuttle that with this 3+3 or 2+2 way of picking a 14-team playoff. Now, 14 is also just a weird number. You know, when we're thinking about tournaments, especially as we play them in the United States, we are thinking about four because we have to, right? Semifinals, as well as conference championships, right? AFC versus NFC. But we're also used to 16, right? We're used to being seeded that way. We even got brackets in the NCAA tournament for each region that go to 16. 16 is a good number. Is 16 too large a number? That's what people are asking. I don't think so. I think that you move the calendar up. You also do some negotiation with the NFL on the side to make sure that you keep your Friday games or your Saturday games, and those two things don't overlap, because nobody wants to fight with the NFL if you're in college football. You very much like to work in concert. But as the NFL continues to eat up part of the calendar, it's becoming more difficult for college football to find its way in. Like, as it is now, I don't mind telling y'all, the biggest regular season week on the calendar for us is Labor Day. Labor Day. You know what gets figured out on Labor Day? Or on that weekend? Not a damn thing. Not a damn thing. Because we're still trying to find out who's good, right? That used to be a thing that we could push all the way to Thanksgiving week when we have our rivalry games where we probably have ranked teams playing for something, try to figure some things out. The NFL's got a big Thanksgiving Day schedule now. They got a big Christmas Day schedule. They schedule games around the college football national championship. It's becoming more difficult as they play games on Thursdays. They want to play games on Fridays, Saturday, and Sunday, right? And again, it's the NFL. Who's going to argue? None of us. But if we are going to do this thing where we're going to add more teams and we're going to extend the schedule, maybe we can also look at what the FCS does, because they seem to have figured out how to get 24 teams into their playoff and mostly get everything played before Christmas. Now, do you want to do that? Maybe not. Is that going to really mess with the Rose Bowl schedule? Yeah. Yeah, it will. Will that mess with our New Year's 6 day bowls? Absolutely. Our New Year's 6 would get blown up in smoke. But is it good for the health of the sport? Absolutely. That's the thing, right? Like, there was a time, believe it or not, when people hated the idea of playing games at night. Hated the idea of playing games under lights. That was as soon as the 1960s. By the 1980s, we got the most seminal high school football book of all time called Friday Night Lights. Friday Night Lights. Everybody wants to play under the lights now. Hell, at Oklahoma, people used to get mad about 11 a.m. kickoff because they didn't get to play at night. Now, take that and push it forward. Don't be afraid of something you don't know. Lean into the mystery. Lean into the chaos. And I don't mind telling y'all either. I love this stuff. I really, really do. And I love it when we don't know what the answer is going to be, because that means that, hey, I'm on the balls of my toes and I'm on the good foot ready to go. I got the same advantage as everybody else. And you know what? In a fair fight, I like me. In a fair fight, you should like you. I say, come on with the come on and make it happen. You know who ain't moaning, complaining about the current state of college football? Ohio State, who's saying we got to get right and we got to get right now. Okay? That is what it's going to take. Stop this belly aching about what the sport was. Stop this belly aching about 50 years of college football coaching if you're Nick Saban. Get on the train. And that, you know what? That's what Nick Saban did better than anybody else. That man stared signing day fiascos in the face. That man got the headset rule. That man adapted the transfer portal. That man understood anything necessary, whatever it takes, to win football games. I don't think that Nick Saban, who was talking today, is talking like Nick Saban in his 50s. I just don't think that's the case. I think that age does it to us all. I think after one point or another, we just get tired and we don't want to deal and we just want to moan and complain. But you got people in your life that don't know how to work a computer. You got people in your life that don't tweet. You got people in your life that don't use TikTok. Us young folks, we don't have that benefit. We got to work it. We got to make it happen. I don't get to say, hey, I came up in a time when, you know, you just worked your butt off and then you got to TV or you got to your columnist gig. No, today you got to fight for every single yard. every single yard, every single viewer, every single athlete, every single connection, every single relationship. And if you ain't got it no more, get out of my way. Get out of our way. I got young guys like Kenny Dillingham and Sherrone Moore who want it. I got young guys like Dan Lanning who want it, and I want it with them. I want it with them. Yeah, all right. You say it's hard. We're going to lean in, and we're going to take it. That's how it's going to be. All right. We're going to be back live next Tuesday. Talk about college football, NFL draft, any of the news that comes out of what we hope will be a significant week in college football in the course of 155 years of playing this sport, and we're going to keep playing this sport. Until then, stay low. Keep those feet driving. Deuces.